If you wonder what I've been doing up here, I've been standing on the Word of God. And it's from the scripture reading this morning is from God's holy word, Exodus 12th chapter, verses 21 through 23, and then moving over to 40 and 42. And this reading is from the New Living Translation. You can find it in the bulletin on page 3 if you'd like to follow along. I was once taught that you can get it, the word of God, through the ear gate, and if you read it, you can get it through the eye gate as well. Then Moses called all the elders of Israel together and said to them, "Go pick out a lamb of young goat for each of your families and slaughter the Passover animal. Drain the blood into a basin, then take a bundle of hyssop branches and dip it into the blood. Brush the hyssop across the top and sides of the door frames of your houses, and no one may go out through the door until morning. For the Lord will pass through the land to strike down the Egyptians. But when he sees the blood on the top and sides of the doorframe, the Lord will pass over your home. He will not permit his death angel to enter your house and strike you down." The people of Israel had lived in Egypt for 430 years. In fact, it was on the last day of the 430th year that all the Lord's forces left the land. On this night, the Lord kept his promise to bring his people out of the land of Egypt. So this night belongs to him, and it must be commemorated every year by all the Israelites from generation to generation. This is the word of Almighty God.
And on that night, the Lord kept his promise to bring his people out of Egypt, out of slavery, into freedom. Today, the Lord will keep his promise to draw us nearer to him, to join us with him. He'll keep that promise. You know, we stand today, as I said last week, in a long line of Christians, some famous, mostly not, who have bequeathed to us a legacy. A legacy of lives lived in Christ, a legacy of lives lived with integrity and with devotion to God, lives lived with contentment in any circumstance, lives, as we spoke about last week, lived in hope, really grounded in this hope that is built on a cornerstone belief that we believe in a God who really did create all things. Because he created all things, he can redeem anything. In fact, this God can even bring life where there's death, can bring new life where there is no hope. We stand in that line of great Christians that extends all the way back. It goes all the way back. It goes back through the people who brought us all to faith and the people who brought them to faith. It extends back to those great preachers, exhorters, teachers, moms and dads. Back to the apostles. Back to Jesus. Back to God who promised his people that they should be free. Free from that slavery in Egypt. You know, every time that we come in this place and we worship together, every time we come here, every time we make a decision to support this place, to sustain it with our gifts, every time we come to this place to worship together, to encourage each other, to step out in faith, we forge a link in that chain, that legacy. And we're empowered by the Holy Spirit to pass on that legacy to our children, to our families, to our friends, anyone who comes in contact with us. We stand in a great line going to the past, and we also stand in a great group, a great gathering of believers today. Today is World Communion Sunday, and we're going to receive communion like we do on the first Sunday of every month. But today we're going to do that with a special kind of awareness, an awareness of our solidarity with other people all over the world who are also receiving Holy Communion today, receiving that sacrament given to us by Jesus. Some people will be coming up aisles just like this one. They'll be going to altars pretty much like this. Other people will be receiving in stations around vast arenas in big converted warehouses that are just teeming with people. And the music is just blazing loud. Some people will receive the elements in golden cups and plates of silver. Other people will be receiving today in little plastic trays as they stand out on some distant desert battlefield. All of us gathered together in that common sacrament that says we are joined with Christ. Wherever that occurs, people come to that table. They come to that table trembling with joy because of the incredible grace of God that has brought us to new life in Christ. Trembling with excitement at a new future in Christ. Trembling with an awareness of that assurance that we have of eternal life in Christ. But however we come, it's good to acknowledge also that to receive that sacrament, to be part of that joining together with Christ, is also to tremble with a little fear. That we're actually participating in an act that's a little dangerous and a little risky. Because as we come forward and as we join our lives with Christ, we're joining our lives with that Jesus who's always pushing us, isn't he? Isn't he always pushing us and always leading us to leave behind that what's comfortable for us, maybe? Maybe what's familiar. Moving us forward to join with him in the new life he has for us. It's a little dangerous. And it's a little risky to join our lives with Jesus. But you know, it couldn't really be any other way, could it? When we come before Jesus, when we come before this table, how could it be any other way? After all, this sacrament that we participate in, it was stamped, it was forged in that moment when God called his people to leave what they knew, to leave slavery in Egypt and follow him into the unknown, to go to freedom with him and a new life. You know the story. 430 years, God's people languished in slavery in Egypt. Oppressed, they couldn't really live out their destiny as God's people. So when the time was right, God decided, God purposed that they should be free. And he raised up a leader called Moses who went to the Pharaoh and demanded over and over again that Pharaoh should let God's people go. Over and over again, Pharaoh's heart was hardened. And over again, he refused. Until finally, God decided he had to bring down the most severe plague upon the land of Egypt. A plague that would even break the Pharaoh's heart and make him relent. And on that night, God came to Moses and he said, go to my people and tell them that tonight they're going to be free. But to prepare themselves, have them do this. Take their prized lamb, their most perfect lamb. Slaughter that lamb and prepare it for the family meal. Take a sprig of hyssop, dip it in the blood of that perfect lamb, and paint your doorposts. Paint the lintel of your door. Because God said, death is coming tonight. And by the blood of the Lamb, death will know that inside that home are my people, and they will be saved. Death will not pass under those doorposts painted with the blood of that Lamb, but my people will pass under that blood to freedom and to new life in me. And so it was. Death came. Death came and the people ran. They did. They ran underneath those doorposts, under the blood of that lamb, into the unknown, leaving behind everything that was safe and secure about slavery in Egypt, leaving behind everything that was familiar, everything that they expected with their lives. They left it behind and they followed God into the desert, trusting Him, believing in Him, relying on Him for their new life. And so it was that centuries later, a new hero comes, and his name is Jesus. And on a night commemorating that first Passover, that first night when the people ran out and death passed them over, on that night, Jesus gathered his friends together. And he identified himself now as that perfect lamb by whose blood all people would be free. Free from sin. Free from slavery to death. He raised up the bread and said it was his body. He raised up the cup and said it was that blood. And that by joining with him, his friends and all those who would come after, even us, could have that new life of freedom in him. The dangerous, beautiful, joyful, risky business. For all those people who participated in that very first sacrament of Holy Communion, their lives were changed. And listen, God means for our lives to change too. Dangerous, joyful, exciting, risky business is this. And sometimes it's really hard to even grasp, you know, that anything in church, anything like Holy Communion could be dangerous or risky at all, because after all, you know, look where we live. We live in a little corner of the world that's pretty safe and pretty secure for the most part, right? We know what to expect almost all the time. We know that if something goes wrong out there, if there's some sort of crime being committed, you know, we can call the police and they're going to show up. We know that tomorrow morning we're going to go to work and our kids are going to go to school, and the high likelihood is that we're all going to return home safely. That's just the way we live. We know that Ralph's is going to have food this afternoon and our money's going to be good there. We know that the Dodgers are playing this afternoon, the champions. We know that UCLA and USC are going to play next Saturday. We know that the mountains are always beautiful in the evening. We know that as we walk, people stop at stop signs, mostly. Sometimes. Okay, we don't know that. But everything else, right? We just live in a little corner of the world that seems pretty safe and secure, and sometimes it's easy to get lulled into the belief that our faith, that our relationship with Christ is also just easy, and that there are no demands. But can that really be true? It can't really be true. Remember the story of the rich young ruler? Rich young ruler comes to Jesus. He says, Jesus, how is it that I can grab onto what you've got? How can I be like you guys? How can I have what you've got? And Jesus basically says, well, all you have to do is follow me. All you have to do is come along, but you'll have to search your heart a little bit. You'll have to look deeply inside yourself and see if there's anything that's holding you back from really giving yourself to me, really following me with your whole heart. In other words, what's the little Egypt that may be holding you back, rich young ruler? Well, his Egypt was his great wealth. He couldn't leave it behind. So he walked away from Jesus, downhearted. So we all have little Egypts, you know. I mean, what's yours? What's mine? We all have those little things, those lines that we're just not really ready to cross in order to really give ourselves to Jesus, to do the things that he may be asking us to do. You know, Jesus tells us a lot of things, doesn't he? He tells us a lot of wonderful things. He says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I am true life. He says, follow me, follow me, follow me. But one thing he never says that I know of, he never says, don't ever change. Stay just the way you are. Let me make you comfortable. He doesn't say that. It's not part of the package. Jesus has wonderful and exciting and good things that he has for us to do. Has for us to do where his will to save all people is joined up with our willingness to serve him. His will to save is joined up with our will to serve him. There's wonderful opportunities there where that happens. But we have to be willing to take that leap, to follow him under those doorposts, to go out to that new life and that new kind of freedom that we talk about when we have this wonderful sacrament today. Now, sometimes it's hard to know what those things are. We have to do a little soul searching. We have to look inside ourselves. We have to really think. We have to pray about it. But sometimes it's just plain as day. And we just need to act on it. Miriam Rastampur trembled as she opened up this little tiny copy of the book of Luke that she received from her sister. She took that book of Luke and she locked herself in her room to begin to read it. All her life growing up in Iran, Miriam doubted her faith, Islam. She had questions. She wondered why it was that she wasn't allowed to pray to God in her own language. She wondered why it was that God was pictured as so severe and so unforgiving and so punishing. She wondered why it was that as a woman she had to remain covered. She wondered why it was that as a woman she had to be under the rule of a man, any man. She wondered why it was that those who did not want to adhere to Islamic law were harassed and sometimes imprisoned. She felt as though she were oppressed. She knew she was oppressed. But somehow she also knew that God was calling her to freedom. So one day she took a risk, a dangerous risk. She prayed to God in her own language. She prayed her heart, and she asked God to show her the truth. And shortly thereafter, she was given secretly this little tiny book of Luke. So shaking, she read it. And it was very different than the Bibles, the official Bibles that you could buy at any bookstore. In those Bibles, Jesus was depicted as a prophet who was leading the way to Muhammad. But here in this illegal book of Luke, he was pictured as the Son of God, as a Savior, as one who would give his life for those who loved, and that he loved all people, even her. She saw in this little book of Luke a truth. And as she read it, she felt, she said, as though Jesus was right in the room with her. And at the end of that book of Luke, there was a prayer you could pray if you wanted to give your life to Christ. So she prayed that prayer. She felt the Holy Spirit in her, and she knew she was saved. And from that moment, she felt compelled to save as many others as she possibly could, although it was illegal. She went out. She started making contacts, especially with young people who were starving for a word of hope, starving for Jesus, and she began to distribute New Testaments. Until finally, one day, the knock came on the door that she knew had to come. She opened the door and there were two plainclothes revolutionary guards. They ransacked her apartment, confiscated the New Testaments, and took her to Evan Prison. One of the worst. A prison that is reserved for those who will not abide by Islamic law. For those enemies of the state. There she lived in disgusting conditions, she said, with some of the most dangerous women in the country. But in that place, her greatest desires were fulfilled. As God's will to save others united itself with her will to serve him no matter what. She found that in this place, in this prison, she was free for the first time to proclaim her faith openly. And she did. And many, many people, prison guards and inmates alike, came to faith in Christ as she shared this wonderful message of love and of hope and of his presence and of new life. This prison became her church. And she served in that church with joy, with trembling. Wherever God calls us, you know, wherever God calls us, whatever he's asking us to leave behind so that we might unite ourselves with him. Whatever that little thing is that's holding us back, that little Egypt, he's asking us to let it go, and move forward where he can grab hold of us, where he can lead us to what we need to do. As his will to save is joined with our will to serve him. As we join with him at this table today. On one Easter, a friend of Miriam's came to visit her at the prison. This friend had been at a clandestine worship service where they had had Holy Communion, wine in a little kitchen glass and a few scraps of bread on a plate. But her friend secretly gave Miriam this handkerchief. Handkerchief that contained a piece of that bread dipped in that wine. She took that back to her church in her cell, and trembling with joy at the new life that God had given them all in Christ, trembling with excitement of the future that they had in Christ, trembling with that joy, with that hope, with that assurance of eternal life in Christ, they shared that meal and wondered at how they had all been changed. Christ wants to change us. It's okay, we can trust Him. But He asks us to leave those little Egypts behind so that we can really follow Him in spirit and in truth. Today we are going to share this meal. We're going to share it together as a body of Christ brought together in His mystery, in that legacy that goes all the way back through all of those people who have made it possible for us to be here today. We're going to share this meal with all of those who are worshiping today, even in places like Evan Prison. And we're going to share it with Jesus, who calls us to leave our Egypts behind, go under the doorpost painted with His blood to freedom and a new life. We're going to share it as we come up here together, trembling, trembling, trembling. Let us pray. Oh, Father, we are grateful to be here today. Oh, Father, we're listening for your urging. We're listening for your voice to tell us what we might do next. Let us be open to that Spirit, even as we come before this table today and share in this sacrament together and with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.